Hannah knew what she wanted. It's important to note that Hannah's life was not one of trouble or starvation or struggle. She's married to a man who apparently loves her. He loves her so much he doesn't really even care that she can't have children. And this was back in the days before people chose not to have children or experimented with the thought of accepting they might not have children. Having children was a big deal. But Hannah was still loved very much by her husband. There's every indication that she and her husband and their family were actually fairly well off. They're traveling every year to the temple to make sacrifices. And if you keep reading, the things that are listed as their sacrifices are not the things poor people brought. Hannah had a pretty good life. There was that sort of pesky rival in her husband's other wife. But it doesn't seem to have upset her too much or impaired her standard of living or what she could do. But Hannah wasn't satisfied. Even more, she knew what she wanted. So much that she would go to the temple alone to pray. This wasn't exactly forbidden, but it wasn't exactly done either. And she comes to the temple and she prays devoutly and earnestly. My head, she becomes so focused on her prayers and her desires that she sort of forgets what's going on around her. And Eli shows up. Eli, who is the great priest at the temple. And he looks at her and he sees a woman alone whose lips are moving but is not saying anything. He comes to the conclusion, which was not too much of a jump, that clearly she's drunk. And so Hannah has her little explanation and stands her ground with Eli, and he promises that her prayers will be heard and answered. She goes home, and she has the son she has always prayed for and dreamed about and longed for. And then she prays the prayer we just read and prayed instead of our psalm. I like Hannah. I like that she was willing to stand up to Eli and hold her ground in the temple. But even more than that, as I come back to this story again and again, I like that she knew what she wanted. That's not as easy as it sounds. It's occasionally easy to look around, realize you don't like your life as it is, and then to complain about it. But my frequent response to people who are complaining is, what are you going to do about that? I have no problem with people being dissatisfied about their lives. Trust me, I frequently am. But if you are merely dissatisfied and you don't know what it is that can change that, I'm not sure you're actually ready to say anything. Hannah knew what would change her life. It's a hard thing. It's an even harder thing to bring that sort of petition before God, before your peers and the people around you. And there's something appropriate about that. We don't always get what we want, do we? So when you say what you want, and in Hannah's case, what you desperately need for your life to be better and whole and complete, you risk something huge. You risk not getting it. You risk being laughed at and told you shouldn't want that at all. But Hannah did, in a lot of ways, was a very brave thing. Knowing what we want and asking for it is something that we are to have inherited. If you listen to the prayers that I often use at the end of the prayers of the people, One of them reads something like this: "Help us to ask only what accords with God's will, and those good things which we cannot or dare not ask, grant to us anyways." God likes to know what we want. Even in the middle of all of our fear, and let's be honest, the relative comfort of our own lives, there's something important about looking at ourselves, our lives, and our world and saying, we aren't there yet. We aren't done. This could be better. Whether it's looking at the people who are in the path of Hurricane Sandy and saying, there's still work we need to do here in a very immediate and giving sort of way, or looking at ourselves and saying, the thing I really need to work on is, or just knowing that overall, across the world, we need to do better at looking at each other, seeing another beloved child of God, and treating each person that way. There is a lot left undone. This is why we pray. This is why we come together to remember that we can work on this together, so that when we ask for something, it is put, hopefully, in that category of things that align with God's will, and that the people around us can support us. Because there is something important, even necessary, about looking at our lives and knowing that things are not done. That God is still at work in us and in the world about us, and that this is a good thing, because things are not yet done. Amen.